testifying to the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. There is no greater story of God's power and love than the story of Jesus' resurrection. The day that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. It is an event that will be remembered in human history and is central to our core beliefs as Christians. While still in the Easter season and after last week's Easter celebration, I guess it is a timely reminder again, to remind us that his resurrection is really important for us now, for those who have passed on and those who will follow us. And I believe that all Christian values and what we believe in hangs on this truth of the resurrection of the Son of God. Jesus, in his own words, said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." But in spite of all Jesus' teaching and in spite of his assurance that he would rise at the end of 3 days and three nights, the disciples were still not prepared for what took place. I will focus this morning on one, our commitment to testifying to his resurrection, and two, what about our own resurrection? It's clear from the gospel accounts that the story of Jesus reaches its highest with the resurrection. How this was received initially was not so much anticipated, but also gives us the evangelic direction that guides Christ's followers to this day. His resurrection means a lot for us. It fulfills the scriptures and the prophecies written in the Old Testament and that he is alive. It assures believers of their salvation, our salvation, your salvation, and my salvation. A justification for all of us, and that our testifying and our faith and our witnesses are not in vain. It also guarantees that the bodies of those who believe in Christ will not remain dead, but will be resurrected unto eternal life. The resurrection is the final proof that Jesus Christ is he claimed to be. In the fulfillment of the scriptures, one was the fulfillment of God's very words after the fall of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:15. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." This came to pass through his birth, death, and the resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ, overcoming death and giving hope to all the believers in God through Christ Jesus. And Paul mentioned this victory over death, in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 55. "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" In our gospel reading, according to John, Jesus appeared to his disciples and others who were there with them to assure them that he is alive. He appeared in the physical form as they saw him before his death and with the scars to prove it. They were reassured with that familiar voice of their leader, their teacher, who is now with them in their midst. No longer in the tomb, where they last saw or heard of him, but with them, just like before his death. His resurrection and appearance confirm a lot of things, not only for his followers, but for the whole world. To his disciples, this meant a lot. The fulfillment and the truth of God's word in the scriptures, and the words of Jesus himself before his death. And John noted this in John 2:22, after he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus has spoken. In our second Bible reading, in the Acts of the Apostles, we hear of a different story. There were more believers, and they were all of one heart, all of one soul. Now we need to remember at this time there were more believers of different nationality, of age, language. They were strangers to one another, but are now all in one mind through Jesus Christ. They were sharing their possessions, working together, helping each other, and they distributed the money from the sales of their land and their houses to anyone who had need. There were no needy persons among them. As Matthew Henry puts it in his commentary regarding this chapter, he writes, "We have a general idea given us in these verses, and it is a very beautiful one, of the spirit and the state of the truly primitive church. It is conspectus seculi, a view of that age of infancy and innocence." As for the apostles, they say that the apostles went far and wide as heralds of the message of the risen Christ. They suffered greatly for their faith, and in most cases, violent deaths on account of their bold witness. A man by the name of Simon Greenleaf was an atheist, a non-believer, and was a principal founder of the Harvard Law School and a world-renowned expert on evidence. Challenged by one of his students one day to consider the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Greenleaf set out to disprove it, but ended up concluding that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was indeed fact, not fiction. Being a man of conviction and reason, and in accordance with his conclusions, Greenleaf converted from agnosticism to Christianity. He asked the question, why would 12 disciples, not to mention Paul, give up everything they had or could possibly have had on this earth, all but for John, to face the executioner's death? Certainly no man would do so for a lie, let alone all 12. These are some of the accounts of the apostles, Peter and Paul, both martyred in Rome in about 66 AD during the persecution under Emperor Nero. Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down as his request, since he did not feel he was worthy to die in the same manner as his Lord. Andrew went to the land of the man-eaters in what is now the Soviet Union. He also preached in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, and in Greece, where he said to have been crucified. Thomas was probably the most active in the area of Syria. Tradition has him preaching as far as east as of India. They claim that he died there when pierced through with the spears of 4 soldiers. Philip possibly had a powerful ministry in North Africa and then in Asia Minor, where he converted the wife of Roman proconsul. In retaliation, the proconsul had Philip arrested and cruelly put to death. Matthew, the tax collector, and writer of the gospel. Ministered in Persia and in Ethiopia, some of the oldest reports say he was not martyred, while others say he was stabbed to death in Ethiopia. Bethlehem. He had widespread ministry travels attributed to him by tradition, to India with Thomas, back to Armenia, and also to Ethiopia and southern Arabia. There are various accounts of how he met his death as a martyr for the gospel. James, the son of Alphaeus, is one of the least three James referred to in the New Testament. This James is reckoned to have ministered in Syria. The Jewish historian Josephus reported that he was stoned and then clubbed to death. Simon the Zealot ministered in Persia and was killed after refusing to sacrifice to the sun god. Matthias was the apostle chosen to replace Judas. Tradition sends him to Syria and with Andrew and to death by burning. John is the company generally thought to have died a natural death from old age. Why would these apostles, Simon Greenleaf asked, give up everything they had or could possibly ever have on this earth, all but for John to face an executioner's death? The apostles experienced firsthand the power of God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this was the force behind their ministry. They have seen their own resurrection as well, and their place in that kingdom. And no matter what life throws at them, they were willing to go right to the end. And are we willing to be like the apostles, to take that extra or to continue to testify the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? It will only take someone who is filled with the Spirit of God and with confidence of their own resurrection will confidently, boldly testify the risen Lord. And now our own resurrection. At some point in our lives, we will eventually face death. And therefore, it's important that we be prepared to respond with confidence and trust in God. As Christians, we have a basis for courage that other people don't have. And no matter what happens, we know the Lord is always there with us. And he's the source of our strength. And our ultimate destiny is heaven. The word of God guarantees us of our own resurrection. And Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 58, puts it, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Stand firm, and let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Because we know we will be raised to a new life, and we can endure persecution and danger for Christ's sake, just as our Lord Jesus Christ." And the question we should be asking ourselves is, what about my own resurrection? What about my family's resurrection? My daughter, my husband, my children's resurrection? Paul, in his first letter to the Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangels, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, he who are still alive are left will be caught up in heaven together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. We live in a world where Christian morals and values are corroding really fast. The message of the risen Christ is no longer as vocal as those during the early church. I believe this time, in this Easter season, we have to take time to reflect on our own responsibilities and as Christians to continue to testify that risen Lord, not only for us, for our families, and for others in our community, and knowing that those who are saved will be raised from the dead to eternity. The jailer asked Paul and Silas in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. They were in prison, and they were praying during midnight, and they were singing hymns, and then there was a big earthquake. It shook the prison and opened the doors, and the chain fell off from their hands, and also the other prisons they were there on that night. The jailer was asleep. He woke up, and he saw all the doors open, and he thought they may have escaped. He pulled out his sword to kill himself, and Paul shouted out, "We are all here." He came to Paul and Silas. He bowed down, and he said, "What shall I do to be saved?" Paul said, "Believe in God, and you will be saved. Not only you and your family." You know what he did? He went back, he prepared a food, a meal, he washed their wound, and he gave thanks to God for that day, because now he knows that he and his family are saved. My brothers and sisters in Christ, on this resurrection day, I hope that and I pray that God will touch our hearts and our minds, and as we go back, continue to testify God's word in our families, in our community, I pray that God's blessings be with you and follow you until that day when we will meet him on that glorious day in heaven. Amen.